sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hello, everybody out there in pro-life land. Welcome.
Pro-life land.
Pro-life land, yeah. Welcome to the Pro-Life America Podcast. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard. And also, as you heard, I'm joined by my comical sidekick. Comical sidekick, Sarah Waits.
Hello, everybody.
Well, Sarah, Tuesday night, we watched the debates.
I don't know about you guys, but we made a party out of it. We had pizza. Sheila made fried apples. It was a whole thing. We got prepared. I don't think I've ever been excited to watch a presidential debate before.
I love them, but I think it'd be easy to say that what we got was more heat than light.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining at times. And I think that President Trump missed some golden opportunities. And you know, one of the things I used to teach in my old life activist seminars is that when your opponent is making a fool of themselves,
don't say anything.
Shut up.
You let them keep going.
Yeah,
you
give
encourage
them, more rope.
Them. Spur them, you know? Right. Tell me more about that, Joe. Tell me what you think about that.
And Trump seems to be so combative that he just can't refuse.
He can't let an opportunity pass him.
And he let Biden off the hook a lot of places.
There were times where it looked like Biden was going to slip into one of his notorious
rants
where you're like, what is he talking about? Right. And Trump cut him off, and that saved him.
Yeah, it bailed him out. And I'm sure that some of the Biden people were in the sidelines going, oh, thank God he cut him off.
Wiping the sweat from their forehead.
And to say that Mike Wallace was neutral is just laughable.
The few times that he actually pressed questions, it was usually for Trump, especially when he brought up the income taxes and how much he paid.
And Biden clearly lied through his teeth several times in ways that you don't have to be a political insider to know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And nothing was made of it.
Yeah.
And I saw a count somebody had done, I don't know how accurate this is, that said everybody's complaining about Trump interrupting Biden. He interrupted Biden 15 different times. But Mike Wallace interrupted Trump 76 times.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's accurate or not. But
I don't know. But it would have been better if Trump just let Biden go on with what he was going to say. Because he was clearly about to walk himself into a ditch.
He was hanging himself.
That he couldn't get out of.
You know, and don't cut the rope. When the guy's hanging himself, let him go.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that you've heard me say around here, and I think that this particular debate really emphasized the point I'm about to make. We need to recognize that Donald Trump is basically to the political environment what George Patton was to the military environment. They're very similar personalities. Now, as you know, Patton is my hero, and if I had heroes, he'd be it. And I've done a lot of studying on Patton and reading on him.
What's funny is even when Patton was trying to be good, he still managed to get himself in trouble.
He just couldn't stay out of trouble. And it's interesting, if you study that period, when the biggest job in the war came up, which was leading the Third Army across Europe, and the war was still very much in doubt. This was make or break. None of the high command really wanted Patton.
They kept on trying to find replacements reasons to go with somebody else, and they couldn't.
Yeah. The problem that they had was Patton was universally regarded worldwide by military people on both sides as the world's best field commander. And even the Germans, there were memos written by the German high command when Patton had been put in exile in England and didn't have a command, and they knew the push across Europe was coming. People are saying they're not going to give Patton command of that army. And these other Germans, military analysts, were saying, wait a minute, they're not going to let the best field commander in the world stay out of the most important battle of the war. They will use Patton. And sure enough, they did. And they didn't like him. They kept trying to get rid of him. But everybody recognized what he was. But he also had that kind of pugnacious, in-your-face personality. And when you study Patton, you see
that's what got results
for
him.
Yeah, and Trump is that guy. He's like that. And you take the good with the bad. You know, you say, okay, we want this guy to be president. He's doing these great things. We just have to step up to the plate and accept these other things. He's got this pugnacious, combative attitude, and that's why we like him.
What I don't understand is there are people who are like, well, we want somebody who says all the right things. They may do all the wrong things, and they may lie to us, stab us in the back, but at least they and smile and say the right things when they do that.
Right.
Versus the guy who says the wrong things, who's a little in your face, who's sometimes abrasive, but he does the right things.
Right.
This person is here to do a job, plain right. and simple. That's yeah. what matters is their ability to do a job. Why would you care about how well their demeanor is if what really matters is the results that they provide?
Well, an analogy that I would make here, what if you had a need for some sort of really dangerous operation
mm-hmm.
and you had to have it?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, well, here's the best surgeon in the world for this operation, but he's very caustic. He's got a very bad bedside manner.
Mm-hmm.
He's abrasive. Personally, you won't like him. Would you say, well, give me another guy that's more likable and has a good bedside manner and has got a great practice going? And would you say that?
No.
You'd want the guy that had the confidence.
I'd want the best, right. yeah. I wouldn't want the guy who just managed to pass med school, but at least he's really nice.
Right. And, you know, in the movie about Patton, and this was a very apt representation mm-hmm. of the attitude that most of the people in the military had
mm-hmm.
when America got into the war, and especially the war in Africa, and just got slaughtered.
Yeah.
General Bradley was there, and he says, what we need mm-hmm. is the best field commander in the world. And the officer that he was talking to said, I hope you're not talking about Patton. And he said, I think that's what we need. I think that's what we're going to have. And this other officer said, God help us. You know, well, that's kind of the way you have to look at Trump.
Yeah.
You know, he's highly qualified, highly competent.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't take any guff off anybody.
Mm-mm.
He's going to stand up and fight. He's pugnacious. He's abrasive. You sometimes catch yourself holding your breath thinking, oh, Lord, what's he about to say?
What's he going to say now?
But you know what? If we hadn't accepted that in General Patton, we would have lost the war.
Yeah.
I promise you, Patton took control of the Third Army. They conquered more territory and created more casualties on the enemy mm-hmm. than any army in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And had he not done that, we'd all be speaking German right now.
Yeah.
I've heard some conservatives in the last couple of days say things like, do we really want to be backing this guy, Trump, and he's this? And you see all of these mushy, mealy-mouthed Republicans, George Bush types, running for cover and saying, I'm voting for Biden. And mm-hmm. George Bush even holds a fundraiser for Biden on his ranch. I don't know that it's true, but I've heard that rumor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disgrace. And we know that Bush has admitted he voted for Hillary Clinton against Trump.
Yeah.
Let them go. They don't understand. Yeah, you want a guy that can lead your Sunday school class? Trump probably isn't your guy. Right.
I will say it would make for a definitely memorable Sunday school class.
But anyway, one of the things that was discussed and that we've seen in the last few days mm-hmm. is the nomination of Amy Comey Bryant.
Barrett,
to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that was the first question right out of the box. That's on everybody's mind. And Joe Biden's statements proves that what they're really concerned about is Roe versus Wade. That's the whole deal around Barrett, because he's right. talking about Roe versus Wade being on the ballot.
They love their baby killing.
And Trump said, well, you've never even asked her what her opinion on Roe versus right. Wade is. So this is what they're concerned about. I've been looking online and kind of keeping a barometer of what's going on. The left is freaking out. They keep on bringing up abortion and Roe versus Wade. In fact, there is a new political cartoon out with Amy Comey Barrett. That's her holding a coat hanger, dripping in blood, of course, right. their favorite little symbol, right? And it says, start obeying your husbands, and girls, have you ever heard of a hanger? Well, then, use it.
Yeah, these people are despicable. The only thing they care about is baby killing. And I didn't intend to bring this up, but as far as the coat hanger thing,
mm-hmm.
let's make sure people understand something. The coat hangers were always held by people who are pro-choice.
Yeah.
It's not pro-lifers who use coat hangers on women and put them in nursing homes or kill them or put them on a morgue slab or whatever it might be. If abortion were made illegal today,
mm-hmm.
and next week a bunch of illegal coat hanger abortions started showing up, mm-hmm. it would be pro-choice people
yeah.
using the coat hangers. And well, so what they're really saying is, if you don't let us kill babies, we're going to kill women.
The coat hanger back alley abortion thing is completely a trumped up fiction to begin with.
Right.
The majority of illegal abortions were done by physicians who were just breaking the law.
Breaking the law, that's right.
They were not doing it in some sleazy back alley with a coat hanger.
And in the early days of legalized abortion, back in the early 70s, a lot of pro-abortion writers were making that point.
Yeah.
That the coat hanger abortion, this is a Hollywood deal.
Yeah.
This fit a certain narrative.
We have to save the women from the back alley.
But in reality, it's garbage. But again, if these people are holding up bloody coat hangers, remember the coat hangers will be in their hands, not in ours. And it's extortion. What they're saying is, if you don't let us kill babies, we're going to kill some women.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones going to be doing it. But let's go back to the hearings that we'll see here before too long. And we're already seeing this online, and we're going to see it more. Let's don't try to sugarcoat this. What these animals are going to do, and when I mean animals, animals slash Democrats, that's the same group of people.
Hooligans, as Sheila would call them.
Yeah, I don't even like calling them animals because I love animals, and most animals wouldn't do what Democrats would do. But anyway, when this thing continues online and in the public, and then especially when we get into the hearings, they're going to portray this woman. Now, this is a woman of incredible accomplishments.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the early days of, let's say the early 70s, when feminism was really starting to take off.
Yeah.
And the left was pushing feminism and the ERA and all that nonsense. And people were saying, well, the problem is women's kids are going to suffer and women can't have it all.
Yeah,
there's a lot of... here's a woman that does.
There was a lot of opposition to women working past the war.
And having prestigious jobs.
And they were saying that women can't do that because what about the kids? The kids will suffer. She can't be a good mother and work. She can't do these things for the husband and work.
That's what people opposed all this were saying. And the left was saying, that's nonsense. Women can have it all. They can, you know, I am a woman, hear me roar. And of course, nowadays, it's not I am a woman, hear me roar. It's I am a woman, hear me whine.
Yeah. You know, women are strong and yet we're victims is the narrative that they push.
They've taken on this victim mentality. And by the way, the Helen Reddy, the I am woman, hear me roar woman, died yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she died yesterday afternoon sometime. Anyway, she was 77, 78 years old. But in any event.
But they're starting to say that if Amy Coney Barrett gets nominated and gets appointed to the Supreme Court, that she can't possibly be a good mother. The same people who are fighting this argument in the 70s, in the 60s,
are now making that
argument. Are making this argument.
Right, to
keep
this woman.
No one is calling them out on it.
And they're going to project this woman as like a combination crack whore, religious kook.
Who hates women, who's trying to
racist,
enslave them.
Racist,
Handmaiden Tale is going to be brought up by the millions.
Yeah, they're already doing that. And they're projecting her as this cross between all these, and a Stepford wife. That's another image they're wanting to put. But yeah, they're saying her kids are going to suffer if she's on the Supreme Court. And it's interesting that these so-called feminist and pro-women people are making that argument. And nobody made that argument about some of these males that are on the Supreme Court that have 7 or 8 or 9 kids.
No.
And there are some there that had 9 kids when they were appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, there's this one person who tweeted, it was at Wheezy Writes, said, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to be replaced by a woman who walked through every door that Ginsburg opened for her so she can promptly use her position to shut them all for others behind her.
Yeah, these people are despicable. And I've always said the American left was godless and despicable. They're now proving the point that people like me have been making for years. They are godless, despicable people. And as this issue of race comes up, I've seen they are actually making the point. You can go online and see it. And some of these are not just kooks that you might find making any kind of statement. They are people associated with the Democrat Party who are saying that, Amy Coney Barrett is a racist because she adopted these black kids. And they're props.
Okay, hold on. So Angelina Jolie, Meg Ryan, Madonna, all these celebrities have adopted children from Malawi, Cambodia, Vietnam, Ethiopia, China. I mean, each one of these people have adopted children from different countries. But where was this argument when they adopted them? When Madonna adopted 4 children from Malawi, where was people saying, oh, they're just props?
Right.
It's racist for white Madonna to go to Malawi to adopt these 4 children.
I saw some Democrat the other day was saying these black children, they put them in the family photo as jewelry. So they can project that she's not a racist when in fact she is. They're just props. They put them in the family photo because they're part of the family.
Yeah. I don't know of any family photos where they take people who are different. And they're like, you stand over here, honey. We don't want anybody.
You're black. We don't want you in the picture.
If you're racist, my guess is you're not going to be adopting African-American children. That just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. And I would ask somebody, so your solution then mm-hmm. would be to take those children away from that family and put them back in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. In an orphanage.
And they're now going to be better off.
Yeah.
And they're going to be drinking water out of holes in the road, which they do. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't have a place where they have running water.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be doing that. They're going to be starving. The girls will be put into sexual slavery. They'll have all those things. Take these children out of this white family in America and put them there, and they'll be better off. And that'll make you happy. But you know, of all the celebrities you mentioned a minute ago, and a lot of them have done this, it became trendy in Hollywood mm-hmm. a few years back
yeah.
to go out and adopt a kid and then bring them here and hire a nanny to raise them. And then you go out and go ahead and do your little, whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. How about Charlize Theron, the actress?
Yeah.
She adopted a black boy mm-hmm. that she's raising as a girl, mm-hmm. putting him in dresses and doing all the things that you would do with a female child. That seems to be perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, they're not calling her out for racism for anything else. But when Amy Comey Barrett adopts children, suddenly, all of a sudden, it's racist for a white person to adopt an African-American child, and you're stripping them of their culture.
It's astonishing, the hypocrisy of the left. And if you want to see the best example of it, this argument that they're going to make that she's a religious kook. Mm-hmm. They're attacking her for her Catholic faith, but her Christian faith overall.
I thought Joe Biden was supposed to be Catholic. On Tuesday, he boasted
right.
that he was an Irish Catholic. That's his background.
Right. Listen, there's a common theme here. We've talked about it for years when we were doing Life Talk. You can have religious views on the left. They will accept your religious views as long as you don't live up to them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're just rhetoric.
Yeah.
So you can be a Pelosi.
A Catholic in theory.
Of Biden, who, by the way, I'm not Catholic and you're not either,
no.
but I can read.
Yeah.
And when you go read what John Paul II said uh-huh. and what Pope Benedict said, mm-hmm. Biden and Pelosi and the Kennedys and all the rest of them are not Catholics.
Yeah.
They've excommunicated themselves.
Because they support abortion. They support abortion legislation.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're not Catholics. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be receiving communion. I think, personally, mm-hmm. it's a scandal that there are priests and bishops out there who will give them communion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we've talked about this before. You and I don't believe this, but in the Catholic Church, they believe that communion is
symbolic. It's not symbolic. According to right. Catholics, the moment you drink the wine,
it's the actual blood of Christ. Right, and the actual body of Christ is the communion. Mm-hmm. And you're giving that to disgraceful heretics mm-hmm. like Biden and Pelosi?
Yeah.
It's a scandal. And I think the priests who do it mm-hmm. are heretics themselves.
Yeah.
And they need to be disciplined. The Catholic Church needs to be coming down on them.
Well, one of the things that's coming out.
By the way, before we move on from that, so uh-huh. people don't think we're picking on Catholics.
Yeah.
I had this exact same argument with Clinton, who claimed to be a Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. I'm promising you, this guy is not a Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
Al Gore claims to be Southern Baptist, and he's not. Mm-hmm. These people are heretics. Mm-hmm. They can claim what their views are all they want to, and the left will accept them, and they'll even take that religious claim
in stride
and use it to get them elected. Say, yeah. oh, look at Joseph Biden. They show these pictures.
He's a good family man. He goes to church on Sundays.
They show these pictures of yeah. him with his head bowed like he's praying and saying, see what a good guy he is. And they only do that because they know for a fact
that it gains points.
It gains points, and he's not going to live up to it.
Yeah, growing up, you'd see all these politicians, and as soon as they're running for president, suddenly they were religious, and they were devout religious people.
Right. It's disgraceful.
I'm going to be surprised if Joe Biden has been to church in a while. I mean, it'd be really easy to pick him out, even with all the masks on, because he's the one sniffing everybody.
Yeah, right. It sometimes just makes you livid, or it does me. When I see Nancy Pelosi coming on television talking about how she takes communion and she's a good Catholic and she prays every day for Donald Trump, you know that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is lying through her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I've often thought about on these particular situations is that if God can't trust them, why would we trust them?
Yeah.
These people are heretics.
Mm-hmm.
Pelosi is a heretic. Biden is a heretic. Al Gore's a heretic. Bill Clinton's a heretic. There's
the Bible
tons
talks about the people right. who are out there portraying themselves as these religious people, and it calls them hypocrites.
Right, exactly. And that's what they are, and worse.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Supreme Court nomination, you know, we talked about last week, if you haven't gone and listened to the episode, you really need to, about the left melting down over Ginsburg's death. and the possibility of her being replaced. And last week you said, look, who people really need to be upset at is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right.
Because she had an opportunity to step down and the Democrats to appoint a justice that they wanted, but she didn't. And New York Times released this article on the 21st. The title is, Why Ruth Bader Ginsburg Refused to Step Down. So essentially, this article is a piece defending Ruth Bader Ginsburg for not stepping down. In fact, one of the quotes from the writer is, she was a senior member of the court's liberal bloc with the power to assign and more often write important dissents. She reached the pinnacle of her profession by refusing to let other people tell her what she could do.
Yeah, it became an ego thing. It was more important to Ruth Bader Ginsburg that she's on the Supreme Court than what she claimed was the best for the United States.
And she brings up all these points about how Louis Brandeis served for 22 years until he's 82, and Ginsburg had intended to stay that long, and that she wanted to be on the court to welcome women like Sotomayor and Kagan, and how O'Connor regretted stepping down, and one of her clerks said, oh, that was a cautionary tale for her, and how she wanted Hillary Clinton, or the first female president, to nominate her successor.
Well, it didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
But if you have this mindset, this liberal, godless, Marxist, communist, which is what she was, and it makes me sick when I see even pro-life conservative Republicans canonizing Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
This woman was a disgrace to the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you say that, well, don't say anything bad about the dead. Okay, then don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't come out here and tell me what a noble, and you, even though we disagreed with her, she was dedicated and she was a good, solid American. No, she was a moral defective, moral degenerate. Now, if you want to be mad at somebody over Amy Coney Barrett, be mad at Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Because she was already in her 80s fighting cancer, had been in the hospital with it already. When Obama was still president, all she had to do was resign and say, I'm a godless leftist. I'm going to resign and let this godless leftist appoint another godless leftist to take my place.
Yep.
And nobody would have ever heard of Amy Coney Barrett.
But she didn't. It was ego. And despite all of the defense in this article for her, it was interesting that the journalist put in this quote here from Dorothy Samuels, a New York Times writer who was doing a book on Ginsburg in 2018. And she says this, I was struck by how many people I spoke with, including friends, acquaintances, former clerks, felt she should have resigned at the time and that her staying on was terribly self-centered, a view I share. I was also struck that normally forceful advocates I spoke with would not express their dismay on the record while she was still alive.
Right. So she was untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Her ego wouldn't let her step down.
Yep.
And now they're going to canonize her.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to blame somebody for Amy Barrett being on the Supreme Court, that's who you blame.
Well, I think this article is proof that the left is upset, and they know that.
Right.
And they're trying their best to still memorialize the quote-quote notorious RBG while they're having all this animosity over this.
A similar situation came up in the debates the other night when Trump was bragging about how many federal judges he's appointed, or he will appoint by the end of the...
You say something like 300?
Over 300 federal judges will have been appointed by Donald Trump.
The bulk of which because Obama left the vacancies
open. He left. The day that Obama left office, there were 127 judgeships open. And Trump was exactly right the other night. He said, you're a loser if you go out of office with any federal judgeships open.
Well, especially 125 or 127.
127 federal judgeships were open. On the day. What should Trump have done? He should have filled
That's
them.
That's a good question. I don't know.
So if you're going to be mad that in the coming decades, the federal judiciary is going to be so much more conservative than it was in the past, be mad at Barack Obama. He's the one that left them open for Trump to appoint.
Not five, not 10, 127.
You can't blame Trump for doing what he was elected to do.
Yeah, and
I can't blame him for that.
I thought it was interesting that Trump quoted Ginsburg in the deal where he said he was elected for 4 years, which is, again, what Ginsburg said. A president is elected to fulfill his duties for the entire duration of his presidency, not three and a half, not three and three quarters, not three and seven eighths.
Well, that's one of those places where I think Trump missed an opportunity. When Biden said the American people have the right to make this decision, he should have said they did make this decision. They made it in 2016. They made this decision. They said, for the next 4 years, we want you to appoint Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. In 2018, they increased the number of Republicans in the Senate. Elections have consequences. But all of a sudden, they're not supposed to have consequences when it's a Supreme Court nominee and the president's a Republican.
Talk about words that don't age well.
Yeah. Anyway.
It'll be interesting to see if there's any more debates that go forward. I don't know if Joe Biden is going to do any more debates. We'll see.
Who knows? Like I said, it was more heat than light. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2015, when Trump debated
Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm. most people thought he didn't do well in that first debate.
No.
And he made mistakes. Mm-hmm. But he came back and cleaned her clock in the second one.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what'll happen here.
Maybe he just needs to get warmed up. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. In the meantime, it provides for very good entertainment. I told Sheila, I said, who needs to movies or television shows when you've got this?
You got this food fight.
You know, you enjoy normal debates. I usually don't, but this one, oh my goodness, this was not a typical debate.
But you just mark my words. Next thing up is the hearings on Miss Barrett. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to say what I said a moment ago. They're going to portray this woman as a combination crack whore, religious kook, racist, and Stepford wife. And if you don't know what a Stepford wife is, it was a movie. Mm-hmm. Go look it up and read about it.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying that she is. Mm-hmm. So that's what's coming.
Yep.
And we can expect this from the godless left. They're going to put on this show, mm-hmm. despite the fact they're all out here admitting they can't stop her.
Yeah.
So they're just going to do what they can and do as much damage to her and her family as they possibly can, knowing up front that they can't possibly prevent her from being on the Supreme Court. So it just shows, again, how utterly disgraceful and godless these Democrats have become. And it's a sad thing. You're not old enough to remember, but I remember when the Democrat Party had credibility and was not a collection of moral degenerates and social misfits like it's become. There was a time when they were not like that. They were just a political party that you might disagree with. Mm-hmm. But they were decent people.
Well, I think even in my lifetime, the shift that has been taking place has been astronomical.
Yeah, but you have no idea. If you go back into the 60s and you see people like Scoop Jackson or Hubert Humphrey, mm-hmm. Hubert Humphrey would take positions that you and I couldn't possibly mm-hmm. agree with.
Yeah.
But he was a good, decent man.
Yeah.
And you could see yourself saying, I could go out to dinner with him. I wouldn't mind if he babysat my kids.
Yeah.
But would you let Bill Clinton babysit your kids? not likely. No. Or Joe Biden?
No.
Or any of these people?
No.
None of these people. The Democratic Party has become something that old-style Democrats mm-hmm. would just be livid about and be embarrassed about. You know, people like Hubert Humphrey must be spinning in their graves. And it wasn't that long ago that this was the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember... this was before your time, but Ronald Reagan had a very good relationship mm-hmm. with Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
They were buddies.
Yeah.
But those days are gone.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. Well, anyway, that's all I got.
I will want to say one last thing, and that is if you like the podcast, go leave a review on the podcast platforms that actually take reviews. We're starting to get some pro-choice hate on there, so be sure to go ahead and leave a review of the podcast.
Absolutely, and get all your friends to listen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm. We're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.